Today, we're continuing a series called Greatest Hits, and we're looking at some famous passages in the Bible, passages that many people are heard of or familiar with. We've talked about the Ten Commandments, the Lord's Prayer. We've talked about the 23rd Psalm. And today, I want to talk to you about a passage that's not quite as popular as those, but it's one that many people are familiar with, even people that are not Christians. They've heard of this. And it's also a passage, though, that I find a lot of people have confusion about. It is a very beautiful passage with great great uniqueness to it. It's a teaching of Jesus, but it's also one that leaves some people sort of questioning, what is Jesus really saying in this passage? So let me read to you something called the Beatitudes. And as I read you these statements in the Beatitudes, we're going to talk about three basic ways in which people interpret this passage. And I think by the time we're done here, you're going to be very encouraged by what Jesus was saying to us. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. And his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. And he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who are meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you, they are persecuting you." Now, as Jesus shares his teaching, it's very important to understand the context. He's talking to a large mass of people that have heard about the miracles that he has done. They've heard some of his teachings. And the Bible says that spontaneously this great crowd of people begins to gather around him. It says there were people from the Decapolis, people from Judea, Jerusalem, Samaria, Galilee, all these different areas. People are coming and saying, "Have you heard about Jesus?" And he has this great mass of people gathering. He goes up on a mountainside and he begins to teach. And he begins what is known as the Sermon on the Mount, three chapters, 5, 6, 7 of the book of Matthew. He begins to share the Sermon on the Mount, this incredible teaching, the greatest sermon ever given. But he starts it by sharing about the Beatitudes. And as Jesus is teaching the people, he gives a number of these blessed statements. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn, the meek, hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the peaceful, peacemakers, the pure in heart, even those that are persecuted. Now, as we read these verses, though, people have different understandings about what Jesus is saying. And the first way that people read these words, which can have some truth but also can be rather troubling, is that some people read the Beatitudes as ideal characteristics of the Christian life. In other words, because Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are those who are persecuted," that some people assume that Jesus is saying, well, these are good things. So it's really a good thing to be mourning. The fact that you lost your child, well, that's a good thing. Blessed are you. It's a good thing that you've lost your job because you're a Christian. Blessed are you. But I'm not sure that Jesus is actually saying that these are ideal characteristics. Now, some of them are. The idea of being pure in heart, being merciful, those are good things that we should aspire to as followers of Christ. But the interpretation that says these are ideal characteristics, the element in and of themselves is good. Being poor in spirit in and of itself is a good thing. Being merciful in and of itself is a good thing. Being persecuted in and of itself is a good thing, has a couple of consequences. For one, for some people, these become morbid characteristics that people say, oh, if that's what it means to be a Christian, I'm not sure that's really what I want to do. Does God really want me to walk around and to embrace some of these things that are very painful and hard? Well, the reality is we have to face some of these circumstances. But it doesn't necessarily, I don't think Jesus is saying that all these things are good that necessarily happen to us. Because when people begin to embrace these as morbid characteristics, what happens sometimes is that some people have guilt. They're like, well, that's really not me. All right, I wish I was pure in heart, but I'm not. I just know how my mind works. I know how my heart works. I'm just not when I really am aware of how wretched I am, you know, evidently I don't measure up to God's standard because I'm not pure in heart. Or I'm really not looking forward to losing someone that I love. So maybe this Christianity thing isn't for me. Other people can use the Beatitudes, and I've actually experienced this, where they can use it as a club to beat people up. I've actually known people that have lost loved ones, and people have come and said, oh, thank God your child is with the Lord. Praise God, sister. And so people are not allowed sometimes to mourn because there's almost this pressure. I have a relative who lost her spouse in an accident. And when she would come to church for several months after the death of her spouse, she was overwhelmed with emotion because of all the memories she had in church with her spouse. So oftentimes she would have to leave the sanctuary. And she actually had people that said, why do you walk out every week? You know, you just need to worship God. You just need to trust God. I mean, blessed are you. And what happened was, is a woman that was grieving had more pressure by the church because there are people that are trying to fix her and say, you really should not be mourning the loss of your husband because Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn. And so we can use the Beatitudes as a club to beat people. But here's a third thing. It also, the Beatitudes, when we view them as ideal characteristics that we're supposed to embody and live out in every one of our lives, they also can feed self-righteousness. A sense of spiritual pride inside of us. Well, you know what? I'm embracing this characteristic, so I'm just a little bit better than you are. Sometimes I see people on social media that post very insensitive or very, very extreme things. And then when someone comes back or questions them, they become a martyr, right? Oh, why are you attacking me? Well, because you just said something really crazy, right? Or you said something very divisive. You know, I was watching an interview a few years ago with, many of you remember, it's not as big now, but when Westboro Baptist Church in Kansas was sort of at their apex, and they would go around and they would protest at military funerals. Servicemen and women that gave their life serving, they would go and they would go to the funeral, they would go to the graveside, they would have signs that would say, you know, in hell and all this different stuff, and they would do all these things, and people would get upset with them because they were being totally insensitive, totally arrogant, totally condescending, totally just clueless about what they are doing to these people that are already grieving the loss of a loved one that was serving and lost their life in the military. And they would protest at funerals. And then I actually saw an interview with a young lady where they questioned her about the people, you know, saying things and yelling back at them to leave. And she says, well, you know, we are being persecuted for righteousness' sake. Do you see the self-protective thing there? I'm going to act like a jerk. And then I'm going to tell myself, well, I'm just being persecuted because I'm really doing God's work. So when we view the Beatitudes as ideal characteristics that everyone should embrace in our life and that these are things that everyone should aspire to, I think that is a misinterpretation. Now, some of these things, being merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers, those are characteristics that we should strive towards, but not all the Beatitudes. Jesus was not saying, these are things I necessarily want you to do in your life. He's simply saying these are realities that people are going to experience, which leads us to our second understanding of the Beatitudes, and that is the Beatitudes as future reward. In this understanding, we read the Beatitudes, and we believe that Jesus is not talking about ideal characteristics, but what he is saying is that these are realities of life. The reality is, as a human being, we are going to mourn. There are times we're going to be a peacemaker. When mom is fighting with dad, and we're in the middle of it. Or my brother is fighting with my sister and I find myself in the middle trying to negotiate this family drama. Or I have a great deal of compassion for someone that I just can't fix. Merciful in heart. These are realities of the human condition. And so Jesus is talking here about these realities of the human condition, that some of which are ideal, some of which are not ideal. And he is saying, if you endure these things, there's going to be future reward. God is going to bless you because of them. So you're blessed because of what you can anticipate. So let's look at the Beatitudes again, and let's think about these in terms of future reward. Let me start in verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people insult you or persecute you or falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Now, in this sense, we read the Beatitudes and we realize that Jesus is talking or sharing about human conditions in life, but he is saying in the midst of these things, there is hope. God is keeping score. Jesus said on one occasion in the Gospels, even a cup of cold water, you give a cup of cold water to someone in need, you will not lose your reward. And so in this sense, we read the Beatitudes and we realize that Christ is talking about rewarding his people, blessing his people. So going back to the example of someone grieving and mourning, to read the Beatitudes through this set of lens, what Jesus is saying is, blessed are those who mourn, not because you don't have a right to mourn. It's not saying, hey, get up and celebrate because someone you love died. What he's saying that in the midst of your grief, you shall be comforted. There is hope on the other side. Your life will move on. God is with you in the midst of your grief, and God will comfort you, and one day it will be okay. Here's what it says in the book of 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who have fallen asleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind that have no hope. The 1 Thessalonians says, we still grieve. There's some people that we lose in life that makes us sad and brokenhearted. There are some things that are painful, but we do not grieve as those who have no hope. There is a hope on the other side of our grief that those who don't know Christ cannot experience. So as we read this, the Beatitudes in this way, we realize that these are human conditions, and in the midst of these human conditions, that God promises to bless us. And there is truth, there is merit in this understanding of the Beatitudes. But I think that there is a third understanding of the Beatitudes that really gets to the heart of what Jesus was saying. And that is the Beatitudes as invitation into God's kingdom. Now remember, I told you that when Jesus went up on the Sermon on the Mount, he goes up and there is this mass of people from all these different regions. And most of the people that have come to follow Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, there are some religious leaders and some that are powerful, but most of the people are common people. They are common people that are looking for hope. When there's a job fair in downtown Peoria, it's not the people that already are making six figures and have a career that go. It's the people that are desperately looking for work, the people who need something. And so when Jesus goes up to teach, people had heard about his miracles. It tells us at the end of chapter number 4, they had seen, they had heard his teachings, his miracles, and they were looking for something. So many of the people that were experiencing the teachings of Jesus are looking for hope. They want to hear something. And so Jesus begins the Sermon on the Mount, and the first of the Beatitudes is not future tense. The first Beatitude is not you shall be, it's present tense. Here's what it says in verse number 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now leave that up for a moment, because once again, this is a present reality. And I believe the first of the Beatitudes is setting the tone of what Jesus is trying to say here. Now the word poor in spirit, I looked at about a dozen translations this week, and many of them, quite frankly, I think don't get it right. But the word poor in spirit really means spiritually bankrupt. People that are spiritually bankrupt, they have nothing to offer or to bring to God. And he said, those people who come that are spiritually bankrupt, that are not the best or the brightest, that don't come before God and say, well, Lord, I've gone to church my whole life, and I've tithed, and I've gone on a foreign mission trip, and I've done all these great righteous things. But it's the people who say, you know what, I'm really not worthy. Jesus is saying to them, the kingdom of God, which is the theme of the book of Matthew, the kingdom of God is available to you right now. It's available to everyone. Those of you that are spiritually bankrupt, that feel that you have nothing to offer, God's kingdom is available to you. Because what happened was, the Pharisees, the people in the days of Jesus, had set up a religious system that was all about privilege. And the people that had wealth, the people that had religious, you know, heritage, the people that were Jews, there were certain people that had privilege. Oh, you are in because of your last name. You are in because you've done these actions. You are in because you're a Jew. But if you're not, you're on the outside. And many people felt like outsiders because they didn't have the money. They realized they had made bad mistakes with their life. That's why when Jesus taught and preached, understand this, when Jesus taught and preached, it wasn't just religious people that came to him, but some of the most common people that came around Jesus were people that were totally messed up. He ate with sinners and tax collectors and prostitutes and drunkards. And the religious leaders criticized Jesus. I can't believe you're spending your time with those people. Because why? They're out. But Jesus spent his time because he came to bring the kingdom of God, not to those who thought they were already in, not to those who were living good moral lives, but he came and brought it to people in spite of their physical appearance, their intellectual horsepower, their material possessions, their family name. The kingdom of God is available even to you, said Jesus. And when Jesus teaches the Beatitudes, and when he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn. He's saying these are human conditions that I am making the kingdom of God available to you even in the midst. My presence is with you. The opportunity to know me in a personal relationship, to experience my goodness in spite of what you've done, in spite of who you are, is available to everyone, even those that we think are on the outside. This is often referred to as the great reversal, where Jesus had a number of statements where he said, if you want to be first, you need to be last. If you want to be great, you've got to first be a servant. If you want to find your life, you've got to lose your life. Jesus said, the foolish things I've made wise and the wise things I've made foolish. In the book of 1 Corinthians, it says, where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? When Jesus is teaching the Beatitudes, what he is telling us first and foremost is that he's making the kingdom of God available to each and every person. That as this mass of people is around him, he goes, listen, this is open to every one of you. The idea of spending the eternity with me, but experiencing my presence and my hope in this lifetime, it is available to everyone. Even those that think they are not worthy. To the merciful. The merciful. Let me tell you about the merciful. The merciful are people that are compassionate towards others. And most people that are merciful have been taken advantage of by others. And many that are merciful oftentimes feel guilt and they wonder, am I being taken advantage of? Am I just the most naive person? Jesus said, blessed are the meek. Let me tell you about meek. Meek are humble people. They're not the people who take over the room. They're not the most gifted, the most dynamic. They're not the ones that people line up to follow. Meek are very humble people. They're very shy. They fall in the background. They don't get a lot of the conversations. They don't get a lot of the attention. And sometimes they look at those who do and say, I wonder, am I really in? Jesus says, oh, you're in. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who long to see righteousness and justice done on this earth, and their heart breaks at the division and the depravity of our world. Jesus says, blessed are you. When the whole world around us appears to be falling apart. You're not out, said Jesus, you're in. Blessed are the pure in heart. The parent that has a child with Down syndrome that sees the sincerity of heart in their child, and I've actually had parents ask me this, but do they really understand the gospel? Ah, blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are those with disabilities and those that have challenges. Blessed are the peacemakers. Let me tell you about peacemakers. Peacemakers are people that are trying to bring peace to two extremes. And peacemakers often find themselves being criticized the most. Because you see, we live in an entire world that is all about dividing people. It's about taking extremes. Are you this or are you that? Are you red or are you blue? Do you support this or you don't support this? And we live in a world that tries to make, there are people who make their entire career, their entire wealth, their entire power is based upon dividing people to extremes. And when a peacemaker steps in the middle and says, I'm trying to help the two of you get along, guess who becomes oftentimes the bad person? It's the peacemaker. Because you will not take a side, they get caught in the middle. But Jesus said, blessed are you. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Blessed are those who have been insulted and persecuted, and people talk all kinds of false things about you because you're trying to do the right thing. People that often wonder themselves, am I the only one? I'm trying to do the right thing, and I find myself suffering in the midst of it. Jesus says, blessed are you. This week I was driving in my car, and I saw a man getting in his vehicle, and he had a disability of some sort with one of his legs, had a very noticeable, you know, couldn't put weight, and I don't know, had something obviously with a leg that was very bad, and he was hobbling to his car, and it wasn't just like an injury, you could tell. And he got to his vehicle, and he had to turn around and push himself up because he could not push off his leg. And I was at a stop sign watching this gentleman, and I thought to myself, I wonder what it was like for him as a child. I could only picture people making fun of him because of his bad leg. And I thought about all the things he couldn't do that other people could do. I thought about his medical bills. And then I thought to myself, blessed are you. Blessed, not because of his condition, but blessed because God has made himself available even in the midst of his challenge. Because let me tell you something, 2,000 years ago when Jesus walked on this earth, let me tell you, people that had physical disabilities were considered unclean. Many people believe, even some people believe this today, the only reason you have this physical problem in your life, the only reason this bad thing happened to you is you must be doing something wrong because God blesses. If your life is going well, then that means God's favor is upon you. But if something bad happens, then you must be doing something wrong because God would not allow something bad to happen to you otherwise. People believe that garbage. There was a guy that Jesus encountered one time, and the people said to Jesus, Jesus, who sinned? It was even the disciples, people that were in the inner circle. They said, Jesus, who sinned this man or his parents that he was born blind? Because we know that God would not just allow this to happen to an innocent person. There's got to be a reason behind it. See, those people were considered outsiders, but Jesus looks at the mass of humanity. He even looks at us today and says, blessed are you. The kingdom of God is yours. I was watching a television show. One of our family favorites that we watch as a family is the popular television drama called This Is Us. And this past week, there was an episode where William, who was the biological father of one of the main characters, was going before a judge because he had a drug addiction and he got arrested. And the judge looks at William and he says, I am disappointed in you. And William begins to tell the judge with his head down, not even looking up, making eye contact, his head down. He tells about how he lost his mother, how he lost his wife or his girlfriend, and how he had to put his child up for adoption. And in the midst of this, talking about the horrible things that he's endured over the past year, he says, and I quote, so I come here and you tell me that you are disappointed in me. Well, guess what? I am more disappointed. I am the most disappointed man you have ever met in your life. If you lock me up, put me inside because there is nothing out here for me anymore. I thought to myself, how many people look in the mirror and say, I am so disappointed in me. But Jesus says, blessed are you. Because in spite of your mistakes, in spite of your failures, in spite of your doubts, in spite of your fears, in spite of your bad choices, in spite of your hidden sins, in spite of all the garbage in your life, the kingdom of God is yours. God is with you. There is hope. There is life. There's a relationship with Christ to be found. There's hope beyond this life. You see, when Jesus gives the Beatitudes, he is giving illustrations and explanations to people in the crowd that the kingdom of God is available to each and every one of us. Dallas Willard, whose writings affected me greatly as I understood the Beatitudes, writes this, blessed are the physically repulsive. Blessed are those who smell bad, the twisted, the mishapped, the deformed, the too big, the too little, the too loud, the bald, the fat, the old. They are riotously celebrated in the party of Jesus. And then there are the seriously crushed ones, the flunk outs and dropouts and burned outs, the broke and the broken, the drug heads and the divorced, the HIV positive and the herpes ridden, the brain damaged, the incurably ill, the barren, and the pregnant too many times or pregnant at the wrong time. The overemployed, the underemployed, the unemployed, the unemployable. The swindled, the shoved aside, the replaced, the parents with a child living in the street, the children with the parents not dying in a rest home. The lonely, the incompetent, the stupid, the emotionally starved or emotionally dead. And on and on and on it goes. It is true that earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. It is true, he writes, that it's precisely the gospel of heaven's availability that has come to each one of us through the Beatitudes. Blessed are you. Because God's love and grace and mercy is available to each and every one of us. And as we leave this room today, I want to ask you to do two things. One, some of you need to look in the mirror. Literally look in the mirror and all the garbage that you face, the regrets, the fears, the doubts, the struggles, you need to look in the mirror and you need to say to yourself, blessed are you. Because God's kingdom, God's love, God's grace is available to you. And for every one of us, even if we don't look in the mirror, I want to encourage you to look out the window. And as you see people that maybe you and I are tempted to judge. Judge because of their social status. Judge because of their appearance. Judge because of their personality. Judge because of different decisions they've made in their life. When we're tempted to judge and we see people that our first reaction is to judge, I want you to say to yourself, blessed are you. Because Jesus' kingdom is available even to them, even as it is available to us. Let me read one more time before I close. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil things about you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who went before you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray specifically for those in this room who need to look in the mirror and remind themselves that they are loved by God. In spite of decisions, in spite of present circumstance, in spite of past mistakes, help them, dear God, to receive the reality that they are deeply loved by you, that they can have a relationship with you and the hope of life eternal. And dear God, I pray that all of us, you help us to look out the window as Jesus looked at this mass of people, many of which were broken, many of which were hopeless, many of which were lost. And help us as we look around this world and we see people that we are tempted to judge, and help us to remind ourselves that they are blessed, not because of their condition, but because of you. In Christ's name, amen.